As we start, we're going to have some verses from the Bible just to focus our minds and our hearts. So here are some verses, some sentences of Scripture. Psalm 103, verse 15 says this, that the life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. The Bible says, Hebrews 9, that people are destined to die once, and after that face judgment. Jesus said, John 3, 16, for God so loved the world, but he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus also said, do not be afraid, I am the living one. I was dead, but look, now I am alive, and I hold the keys of death. We do gather together to grieve the death of Ruth. When someone we know and love dies, it is very, very hard. The Bible tells us that death is our enemy, and it's something that we should grieve, and it's right to do that. But the Bible also says that those who die in Christ, those who are Christians, when they die, they are blessed. They're happy because they go to be with the one that they've trusted, the one that they've lived for, the one that they've longed for, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we gather with grief, but we gather with thankfulness and we gather with hope. And we're here to remind ourselves of the good news that Ruth believed. That good news, which is our only hope in life and death. That Jesus Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. And that he was buried. And that on the third day he rose again, according to the scriptures. And therefore that there is forgiveness and a place in God's eternal kingdom for everyone who trusts in him. Let's pray. We do thank you, Father, for this good news, this gospel of Jesus Christ, your Son. Thank you that he died for our sins, just as promised. Thank you that he was buried, and that on the third day he rose again, just as promised. We thank you that this is a solid foundation to build our lives on. Thank you that you've given us a sure hope and a true faith in Jesus Christ. And we pray that as we meet together and beyond this funeral thanksgiving, that you would strengthen this hope and this faith in us, that we might live as those who, like Ruth, believed in the forgiveness of sins, believed in the resurrection of the body, believed in the life of the world to come through Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray this in his name. Amen. Hopefully everyone has got a copy or can see a copy of this order of service. And these lovely picture of Ruth on the front and these lovely photographs on the back which capture her so well. It's lovely to see that smiling face, isn't it? If she would be happy, she would be saying, yeah, it's okay to grieve, but don't cry for me because I'm where I want to be. And that's because she knows and she knew that her Redeemer lives. That's who she's with now. And we're going to sing the first hymn that she chose. So let's stand together. The words will come up on the screen as well as in the order of service. And let's sing this hymn that she loved.
Thank you all for coming. This is a joyous occasion, but if I get some hay fever from the flowers, please bear with me. Come with me to the evening of Tuesday, the 3rd of April, 1928, in the butcher's shop in Main Street, Staveley. John and Florence Ward padded downstairs from the flat where they lived above the butcher's shop and found, to their surprise, a scraggy little piece of meat hanging from a hook in the ceiling. Or so, firstly, my grandmother, Florence, and thereafter Auntie Ruth would tell us how she first came into the world. It's true that she was born in the flat, but the story gives some clue as to the sense of humour which she retained throughout her life. 3 years later, by which time the family had moved to a house in White Stiles in Kendal, a brother was born, my dad, Leonard. A couple of house moves followed to help care for her grandmother, Mrs. Alice Underhill, and the family finally settled in 19 Castle Road. In 1966, tragedy struck the family when, the week before Christmas, she was involved in a car accident. Her parents, my grandparents, were both killed, and she was seriously injured, spending several months in the Cumberland Infirmary in Carlisle. She came to live with my parents in our home for about a year while she recuperated. The accident was because of black ice, but she always blamed herself for the crash. Few of you may know that she was often in pain throughout her life, but I never heard her complain. 8 years later, she suffered the sudden loss of her brother, my father. In late 1968, Ruth moved to her own home in Empson Road, where she lived on her own for 53 years, until, needing additional help, she moved to Summerhill Care Home in 2021. If any of these dates or things are wrong, I know that there's family members who will tell me afterwards, and I'd be glad to be corrected. She moved to Summerhill Care Home. I don't know if any of the carers are here, but she loved the carers there dearly and really felt at home. But the place she felt most at home was with her church family here, firstly at Sand Area Brethren Meeting, and then as it became here in Parr Street Church. Ruth, or Rufus, some of you may know her as, or Ufi, as we know her, was educated at Castle Street School, and then having passed her 11-plus exam at the Kendal Girls High School in Thorny Hills. Ruth would occasionally tell us about the 11-plus exam in 1939, would you believe, and how frightening it was. Apparently it was in two halves. The first was a written test at the Allen Technical School, followed by an oral test in the education offices in Lowther Street in front of the county education officer and the entire town council. We don't do that these days, do we? Leaving school, Ruth's first job, I believe, was surprisingly in the offices of Gareth Hogarth Tobacco and Snuff Manufacturers in Lowther Street. She subsequently worked in local government for Lancashire Rivers Authority, the County Council, Roads and Bridges, and then the Highways Department before she retired in, I believe it was 1986. At one level, anyone who didn't know Ruth might suspect she lived quite an ordinary and uneventful life. But she was so much more than that. I know that we as a family will miss her phone calls sometimes each week when she would call, often for no other reason but just to tell us a joke she'd discovered. Personally, I'll miss her because she was my biggest fan. I would tell her a joke and she would laugh like a drain before telling me I didn't understand it. I was privileged to meet with Brian Maiden just 3 weeks ago today, who she dearly hoped would be able to take this service. And I shared a recording I had of her telling one of her jokes. Brian burst out laughing. It seemed that she would ring him often as well and share jokes and stories. In fact, over recent years, we've begun to learn how many times she would call friends from church to encourage them, to sing a song perhaps, just to say, as she often did, I know this was to Sylvia, keep looking up, keep looking to Jesus. There will be few people today, here today, who have not at some time of their lives received a letter or a card from Ruth. She almost single-handedly kept the post office afloat. She had a way, whether in person or in written word, of making you feel you were so special and that you had her undivided attention, and that she would send messages at just the right time when you needed your spirits lifting. I know many of us will treasure those cards she sent and will have kept them safely. She had a way of making you always feel better after spending time with her, and she would never shy away from telling others about her Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ and her unshakable trust that he was with her every moment of her life. Just 9 weeks ago, our youngest son, Max and Leah, were married. Auntie Ruth couldn't make it to the wedding, so she sent a long letter to them, and part of that included the words of a blessing from Numbers chapter 6 in the Bible. We've reproduced that, so hopefully there's enough for everybody on your seats, and many of you will recognise the handwriting. If you haven't got one, see us. We should have enough for everybody. One thing we used to do, just in her latter days, we would sit with her and she would tell us stories or read to us, or we would read things to her. And just 3 days before she died, Jill read from a book, Thoughts to Make the Heart Sing, I think it is. And I'm going to invite Fliss up here to read that very short page.
Happy birthday. The Queen has two birthdays. On her official birthday, she has to do Queen things. But on her actual birthday, she gets to do whatever she fancies, like eat ice cream in her slippers all day if she wants. Would you like two birthdays? Actually, when you belong to Jesus, you have three birthdays. There's your birthday when you were born into the world as a baby, and then there's your birthday when you say yes to Jesus and you are born all over again into God's whole new life. And then there's the birthday after you die, when Jesus takes you by the hand and leads you through death, and you wake up with him into the perfect life that won't ever end. You have been born again, but your new life will last forever.
Thank you, Fliss. No, that wouldn't be hard. It wouldn't be easy to read. Jill read that story to Auntie Ruth. And when she finished, Ruth looked at Jill, opened her eyes and said, "Do you know, I haven't had ice cream for a long time." And amazingly, one of the dear carers at Summerhill actually gave her secretly that night a little bit of ice cream. So 2024, Ruth died almost 100 years to the day after Eric Liddell won gold medal in the Paris Olympics. Some of you will know the story from Chariots of Fire, or at least some of his story, but essentially he ran the 400 metres, not his favourite race because he couldn't run the 100 metres. He wasn't expected to win, but broke all records, and he stood for several years. In the months afterwards, when he could have lived all his days on the fame that that brought, Eric made the decision to turn his back on that and go to a remote part of China to become a missionary. And as you know, he would ultimately die in a Japanese prison of war camp. Telling his sister Jenny, which is slightly different in the film, that to win is to honour God, he said, "I believe God made me for a purpose, for China. But he also made me fast, and when I run, I feel his pleasure." I'm no runner. I understand in the 400 metres, it's essential you stay in your lane. Eric Liddell knew his lane. His goal was never the fame of the athlete, but the eyes of the Lord Jesus on him. Ruth wasn't fast, but she ran her race well. This little lady who limped through life stayed in her lane, where she could be used by God. She would often tell us that she prayed for each one of you. She prayed for all our family every day by name. We'll miss that. In 2001, a research project from Lancaster University looked at the state of Christian churches in the UK, and they chose Kendal as the model town, an average town, to conduct that research. They interviewed various people in various churches, and Ruth was chosen to represent this church. I've actually got a full copy of the transcript from the recording, if anyone's interested at some point. Through it, Ruth consistently builds up other people whilst showing her own humility. Let me read the final paragraph to you, although much of the conversation focuses on the homemade biscuits they were munching that Ruth had made. "Thank you very much," says the researcher. Ruth replied, "A pleasure. I love talking about my faith. I get a bit emotional about it, but it's my life. My life it is. When I was baptized, we all chose our choruses. It was lovely for the baptism. It was gradely. They had the chorus, 'Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me.' So there we are. Thank you, love. Thank you for coming." I think we can all agree that we did indeed see the beauty of Jesus in Ruth. So yes, we are sad at the loss of Ruth from our lives. We will miss her smile, her infectious laugh, and her encouragement, but we rejoice that she has finally been called to take off after a life well lived with Jesus. with Jesus at the centre. Eric Liddell knew that China was an unsafe place with the Japanese army invading, so he took the most difficult decision of his life to send his wife and two children to Canada to safety. He would never see them again. Standing on the deck of the ship, he gave his wife one last hug and whispered in her ear, "Those who love God never meet for the last time."
Thank you, Tim. Let's pray. We've just had a small taste of what a blessing Ruth was to so many, as an aunt, a friend, a sister in Christ. Just a moment of quiet, I think. Many of us have got warm memories that come to mind as we think of her. So many things to thank God for. So a moment of quiet, let's bring those things to God. Whatever it is, we're thankful to him for Ruth for, and to say a big thank you. Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for all these memories that we have that speak of someone who was dearly loved and cherished. Thank you for your grace and mercy to Ruth. Thank you for saving her. Thank you for bringing her into your family. Thank you for keeping her throughout her life, trusting in Jesus. And we thank you that the beauty of Christ did shine from her. We thank you that she did grow to become more and more like him through her life. And we recognize that's a work of your Spirit, and we praise you for it. And we thank you so much that she loved us so well. Thank you that she prayed for us. Thank you that she was such an encouragement. And we thank you most of all that she is now with Christ. It is better by far. And we thank you that all the struggles and all the sufferings and all the weaknesses of this earthly life are over for her. And we're thankful for that, Father. And we pray now for those who miss her, most of all for her family. Please draw close to them. Please comfort them. Please comfort them with the knowledge of your love for them. And comfort them with that resurrection hope that we have in Jesus. And we pray all these things in his name. Amen. 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 Ruth, whenever I met her, was always very keen to point to Jesus and to his grace. She knew that she didn't deserve his love. She didn't deserve his salvation. It was a huge gift of kindness that she didn't deserve. So I think it's brilliant that we've got this hymn to sing now. Amazing Grace. That grace is God's huge kindness to people who don't deserve it. It's that special love that sticks to us and never lets go. So let's stand together and let's sing. Thank you, Catherine.
Oh, please have a seat.
Our Bible readings now, and the first one is from Matthew 28, 1 to 7. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." And then from Revelation 21. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life."
Thank you, Josh. As Tim alluded to in his tribute, Ruth's favourite description of her life in these latter years was being in the departure lounge. She was expecting her departure soon, certainly in the time that I've known her. And her time to go through that door, or that gate, marked departures, was coming closer. And she wasn't afraid to go through that door. She really was not afraid. And she went through that gate, that departure gate, on the 26th of July. The fact is, we're all in the departure lounge. Every single one of us. We don't know when we'll be going through that door, through the gate, just that one day we will be. None of us are here to stay. We're all here to go. Death never misses an engagement. Death gets everyone. Death is going to win in human life. And therefore it has great power over us. It brings every life to an end. And death makes us afraid. The Bible says it's the big fear in life. And we do all we can to avoid it, all we can to avoid talking about it, all we can to avoid thinking about it. And all the while, we keep seeing people around us, young and old, go through that door, that gate, marked death, and not returning to us, not coming back. What lies beyond the gate? What lies beyond the door of death? What lies beyond the departure lounge? Can we know? Or are we simply guessers in the waiting room? Well, what we need is we desperately need someone to come back and to tell us what's on the other side. Someone who's been through the door and then comes back to tell us. We need an expert to tell us what it's all about. And wonderfully, there is a person who has done this. And we've just read about him, we've been singing about him, and that person is Jesus Christ. In God's amazing kindness, he hasn't left us to be guessers in the departure lounge of life. It's historical fact, not only that Jesus lived and that he died on the cross, but that he went into the grave and then came back from the grave, from death, to prove his power and authority over death. Historical fact. That's what our first reading from Matthew tells us. He is the expert on life and death. He's gone across and he's come back. As we read further in that account of Matthew, Jesus actually meets those women as they're running to tell the others. He meets them and he says, "Hi." And they fall before him and they worship him. The evidence for Jesus being this expert on death is compelling. So there's the empty tomb. On the third day after he died, that tomb in which Jesus had been laid was discovered to be empty. A body which had been there was no longer there. And that fact needs to be explained. And then you've got the fact that Jesus was seen alive. After the tomb was declared empty, he was seen alive by those women in the reading, and then his disciples, and then by groups of people. In fact, hundreds of people claim to have seen him over a period of 40 days. Hundreds. Moreover, these eyewitnesses were willing to be killed rather than deny their faith that Jesus had been raised. Those facts, they need to be explained. And then you've got the fulfillment of Scripture, of the Old Testament. God's chosen king's death by crucifixion and his subsequent resurrection 3 days after had been prophesied in astonishing detail hundreds of years before in the Scriptures. And that it all happens just as promised. That needs explaining. And then you've got the growth of Christianity. The Christian movement spread like wildfire in the first century. And this extraordinary growth has continued to this present day. Of all the great founders of religious movements or religions, none of them has impacted the world the way Jesus has. And yet none of them lived in so remote a place as Jesus. None spent such a short time in the public eye, just 3 years, as Jesus. None died so young as Jesus, just 33, and none died so shameful a death, a criminal's death, like Jesus died. We base our whole calendar on him. You can see that in the dates on Ruth's life. 1928 to 2024, year of our Lord. Whole of history is dated by him. How could this village carpenter turned preacher make such a huge impact given his very short life? That is a fact that demands explanation. And the explanation that the Bible gives, of course, is that Jesus rose from the dead. It's the fact that changes everything. Alternative theories, things like Jesus wasn't really dead, the body was stolen, his disciples invented the whole thing, they just lack real evidence. They don't square up with the facts. The theory that best fits the facts is that this man Jesus was killed on a cross, he was buried, and then on the third day he was raised again. Sir Edward Clarke was one of the most distinguished lawyers this country's ever known. This is what he writes. "As a lawyer, I've made prolonged study of the evidence for the events of the first Easter day. To me, the evidence is conclusive. And over again in the High Court, I've secured the verdict on evidence not nearly so compelling. As a lawyer, I accept it unreservedly as the testimony of truthful men to facts that they were able to substantiate." Fact, not fiction. And if the resurrection of Jesus Christ is fact, then everything that he said and everything that he did as recorded in the Bible is absolutely true. Absolutely true. And we'd be mad to ignore him, because what happens at our own death depends on how we respond to him. So let's listen to what Jesus, the expert, says. Well, he tells us the truth. He tells us the truth about ourselves. Jesus says that we are sinful people. That is, we've lived for ourselves and not for the God who made us. We've ignored him, plowed our own life, without our own way, without him. And Jesus says that puts us in danger. We will stand before God the judge one day, and we don't have what we need to meet him safely. I suppose you could say that's the bad news, but he doesn't just leave it there. He tells us the good news. He says that he loves us so much, so much, so much that he came to save us from our sin. He is the Son of God who left heaven and came to earth. And he came to earth as a man, a human being, to live a perfect life and to take the punishment for our failure to live that life. So when he died on the cross, he was punished for our sin. And that's the amazing grace that we've just been singing about. And in taking our punishment, he broke the power of sin over us. He broke the power of death over us. His resurrection is the proof that death's power has been broken. And Jesus, the expert, says that everyone who trusts in him, that's who entrusts their life into his hands, who believes that he is who he says he is and he can do what he says he can do, everyone who trusts him no longer has to fear death. They really don't. He has taken our sin away. So when we die, we go through that gate, that departure gate, not to be condemned by God, but welcomed by him, to enjoy that resurrection life in the world to come, pictured in that second reading that we just had in Revelation 21, a vision that Jesus himself gives to his disciple John. Wonderful picture of a glorious wedding feast. Jesus and his people together at last in a renewed world. No more crying. No more mourning, no more pain, no more death. Ever. It's wonderful. And that's what Jesus says, awaits those who trust him. But he also says that that future is only for those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life, his book of life. He says that those who refuse that rescue, who refuse the gift, who say no to his salvation through the cross, will go through the gate of death to the exact opposite of that, to what he calls the second death, the eternal living death of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth in hell. No one spoke more about that future than Jesus. And he tells us that because he loves us. Love warns those it loves, and he doesn't want us to be there. He wants us to be with him in that perfect new world. Well, that's what the expert Jesus says, and I guess we need to decide whether we're going to believe him or not. Is he telling the truth or not? Well, Ruth believed his words 100%. She believed what Jesus said because she believed in all her heart that God raised him from the dead. She knew that her Redeemer lives. She knew Jesus, the expert. Not just knew about him, she knew him personally. And that's why she wasn't afraid. Because she knew that Jesus died for her and had taken all her sins away. And he says, "Don't be afraid, Ruth. I'm with you, I've got you." And she still knows him today because she lives on with him. She's with him today in paradise. And she's there because, not because she was a good person, but because Jesus is the great Savior and he had mercy on her and she entrusted her life into his hands. That's why she trusted him. And if she was here, I know that she would be encouraging us to do the same. Trust him. You won't regret it. Go from being a guesser in the departure lounge of life to being a knower. Put your trust in Jesus. And he will lead you out of this departure lounge, through that gate, through death, through the judgment to come, and into that happy, happy eternity with God. And for those of us who have entrusted our lives to Jesus, the message from the empty tomb is the same as it was on that first Easter. The message is, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Jesus comes to us today through his word, by his spirit, and he says, do not be afraid. I am the living one. Behold, I was dead, but now I'm alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death. Are you afraid to die? Jesus says, don't be. I died. I went through death with my body. I've defeated death. I have power over death. And I'll be there when it comes for the time for you to depart. I'll be there with you. And I'll go through with you. And I'll get you through safely. I will. True words. Trustworthy words from the man who was dead, but who is alive. Put your hope in him. You won't be disappointed. Let's pray. We thank you, Father, for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you that he really is powerful and faithful to save us from our great enemy, death. We thank you that his words are trustworthy and true. We thank you that we can know that they are because you raised him from the dead. Not in fantasy land, not in fairy tale land, but in history. Thank you so much for this living hope. And we pray that you'd just help us to respond to him wisely. Help us to do what he encourages us and pleads with us to do, is to turn from living our own way and to put our trust in him and trust our lives into his safekeeping and follow him. And so we pray that we'd all do that. And we pray that he would be everything to us, that his death for us would be our peace, that his resurrection would be our life, and that his daily presence would be our comfort in this departure lounge, and the promise of his return would be our great hope, just was it as it was for Ruth. And we pray these in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to keep praying. Some words will come up on the screen. We're going to pray the Lord's Prayer. So together, let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Ruth very much wanted this service to be something that glorified Jesus. And so we're going to give him that glory as we sing our final hymn that she chose. Thine be the glory, risen, conquering Son. So let's stand together and sing as Catherine leads us.
Is the victory.
And so may the Lord, the risen Lord, bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Please do have a seat. And thank you so much for being here. It's real encouragement to see so many people. Please do stay for refreshments if you're able. They're served downstairs. To get there, if you don't know, it's just out onto the main street through the main door and then round the back of the building through the car park, and first door on your left is the way that you access the downstairs hall. So please do stay. And you'll see that any gifts that are given, financial gifts in memory of Ruth, they're going to go towards the ministry and the mission of this church here at Park Street.